Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get some punch. Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us alongside Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll be breaking down all that is happening with the New York Giants. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. There's two ways to interact with us on the program. You can also send in your tweets using hashtag GiantsChat to make your voice heard over the next 60 minutes. And Jeff, a lot to get into. We'll look ahead to the Rams game as we get ready to go up against St. Louis this weekend. And we'll also get to some transactions or any maneuvers maybe that the Giants could make potentially with the injury bug again.
Yep.
But let's start with the Redskins game. Obviously, the Giants getting their second straight victory. And there were a number of bright spots. You and I were talking off the air. Special teams was very effective, as well as the defense. 22 sacks now combined in the last three games, Jeff.
Well, you kind of look at the way that this season has gone, and it's like the beginning. You know, that we always talk about the Giants defense wanting to get after the quarterback, and we're, you know, as we progress through the year, we were saying, hey, there's not enough pressure on the quarterback. Well, the Giants have been getting it done the last 3 weeks, and I tell you what, the emergence, I should say, I don't know if it's the emergence, it's just maybe the maturity of Hankins. I think that the guy is just playing at a level as a young defensive lineman that's really has the ability to get after the quarterback, and he's also very good in the run game. And now you're looking at how everybody has said that JPP can play. I think he's making this this surge at the end of the season to really kind of get some guys in the Giants organization and other teams as he heads into free agency to try to get an idea of really what this guy can do. We all know what he can do. It's just a matter of him being able to do it. But defensively for the Giants, I still think that they need to shore up that run game. I was watching the game on Sunday against the Redskins, and it seemed to me that their running game at times had just gotten on a roll. And then, of course, the Redskins would just shoot themselves in the foot like they normally do. But, you know, overall, I think the Giants in the first half were a little lethargic. And really going into the second half, that big play that happened at the end of the first half with the RG3 fumble going into the end zone. And then you line up for that extra point or the onside kick at the end of going into the third quarter. And, you know, I played in a lot of football games, as you know, and I've never seen anything like that where there's a 30-yard penalty and, of course, they're kicking off on the other side. I've seen it where they've kicked off, you know, close to the 50. In fact, I have kicked off from the 50-yard line before somewhere around in there one time in my career. Like, it was a touchback, by the way, because it was only 50 yards. But you know, that was a great opportunity. Unfortunately, the Giants didn't capitalize on that opportunity. They got a field goal out of it. But collectively, I think the Giants knew they were going to win this game. I think a lot of people thought that they were going to win this game. And you look at the production you're getting out of Odell Beckham. And I will tell you this. I thought the offensive line for a team that was blitzing as much as the Redskins do, they've done well in the pass game the last 3 weeks. For three teams that have predominantly been able to get after the passer with their blitzes, they've done a nice job. And I think that they still need to work on that run game because, you know, if you're going to be a good team in this league, you got to be able to run the football, especially when you're in a close game. That game was going into the fourth quarter, was very, very close. And once you get a lead, you're going to want to be able to run the football. I think the Giants are still struggling in that category.
In terms of the run, 22 carries for just 49 yards, just 2.2 yards per carry.
Yeah,
and they had been productive the previous game against the Tennessee Titans.
Well, but consistently on the year, they're not getting it done. And more importantly, in certain points of the football game, when you have fourth and one or you have a third and one, you got to be able to have a run game that you can get those first downs and extend plays instead of having to put your punt team in there, which, by the way, I thought Steve Weatherford really helped this team win this weekend with his leg and his placements and with Bowman catching those balls out of the air. It did remind me a little bit of myself and David Tyree, how we used to hook up down there kicking that ball in the air and he used to catch it. And it's a huge play, and I just loved watching it because you don't see it that very often anymore.
You took the words right out of my mouth, because Tom Coughlin, during his conference call yesterday, this is his exact quote. He goes, on special teams, I was asked last night, heck, we had 5 of 6 punts inside the 20. Four of those were inside the 10. We had Zach Bowman make a couple of outstanding plays reminiscent of Jeff Fiegel's and David Tyree catching the ball in the air inside the 10-yard line.
Good minds think alike, I tell you that. So I have a good mind, you have a good mind, and so does Tom. But, you know, those are fun. You execute that play. You know, you practice it every week. Fridays are the day you do that, and you kind of – I remember going through the years when we lost David Tyree. He was no longer on the team anymore, and we were trying to school guys on how to do this. Now, you got to understand – that this is, it's not an easy play, but it's certainly not a difficult play. Just turn around, look for the ball, and catch it. And it was amazing to me that how many guys can't do that. And to David Tyree made it look so easy that Tom and I would be out of practice, and we would look at each other like, what is wrong with these guys? How can they not make this play? And it just goes to show you, when you can make the play and the other team is starting their drives inside the 10, that's a long ways to go. And Tom will tell you, because he does this on Thursdays and Fridays, he gives these statistics, that a drive that starts inside the 10-yard line for the opposing team's offense, it's less than 10% that they score. So that's something that you want to build on. And if you have a guy like Bowman, who we knew coming into the season in the free agency and them picking him up, he was an outstanding special teams player for the Bears. Outstanding. Gunner going down, making tackles, and also what you saw on Sunday catching the ball out of the air.
And the reason why Bowman was so critical to special teams in Chicago, because he was a backup. I mean, he only was inserted into the starting lineup once Charles Peanut Tillman went down. So he made his money. He made a name for himself by chipping in on special teams.
And you know what? You think about David Tyree. David Tyree made a name for himself playing special teams, and then he made one of the best catches in the history of football. That really put
that
him on the map, you know?
And
thank God he made that catch, too. Man, oh, wow. Thank you, David.
Yes.
Who I just saw. I just saw him about 10 minutes ago. So I remind him about that every time. Thank you for catching the kicks down inside the 10 for me, and thank you for catching that ball in Super Bowl 42.
So two guys that Tom Coughlin is reminiscing about in the building
in
today.
In the building.
And on a consistent basis.
And a consistent basis.
There you go.
You know, good guys like us, good quality, good players, good people. They hang around the organization.
That's right.
There you go,
you
Lance.
You do special teams. You chip in every day.
Got to do it.
You find a way to hang around on the 53-man roster.
And, you know, I was out of town this weekend, but I was able to watch the game. And, you know, we talked about this last week, not only you and I, but everybody in that, for that matter. The play out of these young rookies, okay? And so I'm watching a game the other day, and Kennard continues to just impress everyone. I watch him play with passion. I watch him play with good discipline and just that go get him. He's incredible. And what I like about him is that I see him line up as that left guard, number 59 on the punt team. So, you know, young guys have to play special teams, but young guys usually are not starters and playing special teams. But at this point in the season, everybody's got to play special teams. But he's not only doing it on the field defensively, he's doing it in special teams too.
Well, certainly a number of different contributions across the board, specifically from the rookie class, as Jeff just alluded to. You look at what the running backs have been able to do, Andre Williams filling in for Rashad Jennings, Devon Kennard, Odell Beckham, it goes without saying. I mean, we haven't even gotten into what he's accomplished thus far, Jeff. The records just continue to come in.
Woo!
He now extends his own record in terms of being the first rookie in NFL history to have at least 90 receiving yards in 7 straight games. He also broke Jeremy Shockey's Giants single-season rookie record in terms of receiving yards. He's got 972. He's probably going to finish the season being the leading receiver, being the leading person in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns when it's all said and done for the Giants this season.
Well, it's certainly a nice resume, in my opinion, for consideration for Rookie of the Year. I think that, you know, I'm not that involved in the league statistics of only the guys we really cover here. But he certainly has made a case that he can be up for that award. And after missing the first 4 games of the season, goes to show you what he could have done in the whole season. But I did put out a tweet on Sunday as I was on.
Now you put out the tweet.
Nobody I put out
put
the
tweet out for you.
I put the tweet out. Okay. Is that the proper thing that
I should say?
Well,
we know that sometimes when Twitter handles are left open, some people try to take advantage of.
Yeah, well, that was I was sabotaged last week on Boomer and Cart, but
I just want to make sure.
And just yeah. And I turn that thing off, Lance. I turn it off when we leave the studio. You must have turned it on for me.
I may have. You know what? I was thinking. I don't want to give away our secrets, but we are going to be back in the studio this weekend.
We are. Yes.
And between you and me and the rest of the audience now, Craig tends to leave his account open sometimes. So we will keep close tabs on that this weekend.
And how Lance knows that because I sit in Boomer's spot and Lance sits in Carton's spot. So.
Right.
They're not listening or seeing this show.
We hope not.
I promise you they're not. And they're, you know, I was a prankster when I played. I mean, I had all the time in the world to do stuff. So if you mess with me, it's in trouble. So I think we're going to have to get something done this weekend coming up in the studio. But what I was telling, the tweet that I did, that was my own tweet,
was
the fact that we kind of understand now, while at the time nobody really could. And they got tired of being – Tom got tired of being asked the question about Odell Beckham. When is he coming back? When is he coming back? Is he going to come back? And they finally said, I don't want to talk about him anymore. He'll be on the field when he comes back. You kind of understand now why they wanted to wait and have him healthy, because if you had got him back on that field and he wasn't healthy and he got hurt again, there's no telling. I mean, look at how good he has been this season at 100% healthy, and that's why they waited. So you can kind of understand, in hindsight, you understand now why they did it. But at the time, everybody was like tired of hearing Tom say, yeah, he's not ready yet, he's not ready yet. But, you know, it took some time.
Well, the other thing to add to that, Jeff, is the fact that Devon Kennard, which everybody seems to forget, he missed three games with a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Everybody's wondering, well, why is all of a sudden something clicking for Kennard? Now, part of it is his increased playing time. You have to admit that. But the other part is he was hurt. So he wasn't practicing nearly as often early in the season. And if you put Odell Beckham in a similar circumstance, you know, it's hard to get that production earlier in the year when you're not chipping in on the practice field.
And when you're not playing, it's hard to – we talked about this before. It's so difficult for a rookie to come in and play football in the National Football League and be good at it right away. There's a learning curve that you have to understand. You got to get the speed down, the terminology, just the flow of the game, how things work, routines, all that stuff. So for these young guys to come in and make an impact like Odell Beckham, which is more impressive, for a guy like Kennard who's hurt, who plays and then he's hurt and then he comes back, it's hard to get a little bit of routine in there. But you look at the last 3 weeks, he's been starting, he's been playing every down, and blah, blah, he's starting to get that routine in there and kind of learning the game as he goes. And I just love what Perry Fuel is doing with him. You know, we know he played a lot of different positions in college, but you know, I see him down there on the line of scrimmage and just rushing the passer from that defensive end position, and he does such a good job with that. And teams have to pay attention to him.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You could also chime in using hashtag GiantsChat on Twitter. Before we get to the phone calls, we want to remind that listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. We're going to open up the phone lines. We'll also get a little bit into the St. Louis Rams. This is a very intimidating defense
that
the Giants are going to see this weekend, the team that has a knack to get to the quarterback. So pass protection, as Jeff alluded to earlier in the program, is certainly going to be key. We start with Marco today. Marco, what's happening?
Hi, Marco.
Hey, Jeff and Lance. How's it going?
Doing good.
Marco. How's everything with you? What you got?
I'm doing well. I wanted to talk to you about Beckham. But when I was on hold, I was listening to what you had to say about Jonathan Hankins. And I think with Hankins, too, it's important that, you know, Jerry Reese gets some credit there. He was where he's gotten criticized in the past. They made a, you know, a smart, and I'm sure finances had a lot to do with it. But when Linval Joseph left, he was a great player for us in the middle of the defense. And they drafted Hankins, and he's filling right in, and he looks like he's got the makings to be a really – just an up-and-coming great player. But similar with Joseph, you know, when Barry Colfield left, he filled in, and now Hankins steps in.
Yep.
And I think the organization should get a lot of credit for that.
And we know last year we saw a little bit of Hankins, you know, spot play here and there. But we did see, you know, hey, this guy's got some potential, and now let's see next year what he does. And now we're into next year, and we're seeing when he gets to play on a consistent basis and he's in that lineup and he's starting to make plays. And like I said earlier, for these young guys, it takes a while for them to understand the game. It really does, conceptually, physically, and I think that he's going to be a good one. And I really think he's a nice replacement for those two guys that you had mentioned, because when you think about Barry Colfield and Linval Joseph, those guys were tremendous football players for the Giants organization, and they went out and got two good paydays, both of them. And so they just couldn't afford to keep Linval Joseph, but they got a nice, you know, they built through the draft there, and you got to give Jerry Reese and his staff some credit for that one, too. Absolutely. What else you got?
Now, before I let you continue, Margo, Hankins is second on the team in sacks, right behind JPP.
Yeah, from a defensive tackle position, which is you know, and then you look at Jenkins and Hankins. Those two guys are pretty productive inside there. And yeah. And then we could also talk, you know, what would Robert Ayers be doing if he was playing in all these, how these guys are having this sack attack right now? I could imagine that Robert Ayers would be doing a lot too.
Everybody seems to be tripping it. What else you got, Marco?
And we hope Bromley comes in year two next year. And
yeah, there you go.
Continues to improve.
Absolutely.
So about Beckham, watching these games now, knowing that the Giants are way out of it, they're not, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to have a losing season. I've been watching the games differently. You know, I'm not as at the edge of my seat on these wins and losses. It's actually the anxiety has come way down. So I'm watching different matchups, and Beckham, I'm pumped up to watch him against the Rams now because we know the defense is so good. So I'm interested to see him go out there with a top-flight defense. And we saw him in action with Seattle, and teams are now scheming for him because they know he's the number one option on the offense. What I wanted to ask you guys was, if he didn't, he was out all training camp, and he didn't play in one preseason game. I wanted to know if you have any idea what coaches saw in him leading into camp, maybe right when he was drafted. Did they foresee him being this type of receiver? Maybe not early on, but what's the ceiling for him, you know, more or less?
Yeah, sure.
And Jeff, where do you want to see Beckham's game improve with a full off season, with a training camp next year? Where do you think he can improve?
Well, I'll answer your first question. I think that because they drafted him in the first round, you kind of had an idea of what, you know, what a first rounder can do for your football team. I think what they were impressed about was his route running and his speed. Those two things in his hands. Didn't drop a lot of footballs. He runs great routes, which is an asset to the quarterback position because he knows the quarterback knows he's going to be there, and he runs good routes. And then his speed and running track, those things. I don't think that anybody could actually predict or even say that he was going to be as good as he is now. You know what I'm saying? He might have been good as a first rounder. But he's blowing up the top about as far as what his production is. The other thing, what he can improve on is I think that just his study just of the game. He can get better at the things that he's doing well now. And I think more importantly is just some of his just the mental aspects of the game. Maybe reading some coverages a little bit better and also not getting into the point where what I do not want to see happen to Odell Beckham, and I don't think it's gonna, but I do not want the success to go to his head.
Yeah.
And you know, you see it all the time, and particularly in this position. Receivers are divas. All right? I'm not telling you something you don't know here.
Compared to punters,
absolutely. But I just want him to be humbled and just kind of, you know, go with what you're doing and be fine with it. But I think that, you know, and what he did on special teams the other day, it ruined a perfect game for him when he muffed that punt. To me, that was lackadaisical and lack of focus, and that's just being young. I think he'll get better at that.
Thank you, Marco.
Yeah, you got it, Marco. Appreciate the full call.
Have a good one, Marco. Thank you.
The other thing that I wanted to add, Jeff, because Marco was asking, you know, did they envision he was going to produce like this? The one thing that Odell Beckham did while he was hurt, and Tom Coughlin talked about this yesterday on his conference call, he would sit and stand in front of the jugs machine.
Yeah,
so he
catch
would constantly
ball.
Be working on his hands while he was hurt. It wasn't as if he was just stationary and watching from the sidelines.
Right.
So I think that helped just in his development and his consistency in terms of, okay, reading where the football is going to
come
catching. When he gets into
it. Yeah, because he doesn't have to, you know, you can catch. You don't have to run. Somebody could be throwing your balls. A jug machine, for everybody that doesn't know what it is, it's just that machine that just shoots your footballs. I used to catch them all the time doing punt snaps. It's the same rotation, the same thing. So you can get a lot of work on that, and you get a lot of work in the film room, which I think Tom has alluded to many, many times, that he was getting mental reps at practice. He was in there learning the offense. You got a guy like Eli Manning who is teaching him this new offense, even though Eli's learning it himself. So, and you got to give a little bit of credit to Odell too about being smart and really understanding conceptually what they're asking him to do on the field.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Two ways to interact with us here on the program. Let's head back to the phone lines. Charlie is in Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you all?
We're doing well, good, Charlie. How's everything with you?
This is our positive Charlie.
Your mic wasn't on very well, but I think they just fixed it for you.
Well, so it may have been you calling up to have fixed it. So congratulations.
Yeah,
you seem to have that effect on the program.
Yes.
What do you got?
I got a question for you. How can a defense come out so unprepared when you come out of the tunnel, you're at home, you're all psyched up, you go on the sideline and have the big pep talk, stomp you out or wherever it is.
They still do that? Stomp you out stuff? That was Drahan's thing.
Well, you know, I mean, he may have that effect on him. I don't know if I've seen it.
Did we lose Charlie?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, Charlie left us hanging like that. He was getting to his point, and then all of a sudden.
I know where he's going. I know where he's going. Because you look at that first half, and the Giants' defense, they gave up a lot of yards. They gave up a lot of it's kind of what the Redskins went to the plays that worked against them the first time. Those checkdowns out of the backfield, they were running to that right side away from JPP, and so you going into this halftime, they caught a huge break, the Giants did at halftime. Ontrell Roll drops a sure interception in the end zone, okay? So that, and then they get he drops it, and then the RG3 fumbled touchdown play, you know, at least that's huge. I mean, you're going into halftime, you're down now. You're going to be going down, and God only knows what's happening.
Yeah, it would have been 17-7 had the touchdown counted.
Absolutely. And then you're sitting there going, what in the world? Here we go again. You know, here's the Giants. We're down again. But, you know, that's football. That happens. But, what Charlie's trying to allude to is, you know, you got a home game. You're on a two-game. You know, you won a game last week, finally, and now you're coming in here, and what's going on? I don't know. I can't tell you. I never played defense. But I do know this, is that there had to be something said at halftime. And I think those two plays kind of woke up the Giants and said, hey, man, we're lucky that we're even in this game right now. We could be down 17-10. Let's go.
Well, it's funny how momentum shifted, Jeff, in the span of seven plays. Because what you mentioned is you had Antro Roll drop the interception. Then on the very next play, RG3 runs into the end zone. They overturn that. Redskins lose their cool. Santana Moss is thrown out of the game. Two 15-yard penalties. They come out to start the third quarter. Giants recover the onside kick. Four-play drive leads to a field goal. And even though the Giants didn't capitalize and punch it in, you could tell at that point something left the Redskins sideline.
Well,
something
was missing. Santana Moss left the Redskins sideline.
there was something physically that left their sideline, but mentally too.
Yeah, and it was funny because when I saw that happen, all I could think about was on Saturday night I watched the U part two. You know, for those, you know, I went to the U and I'm watching the U part two, and Santana Moss is on there and Rolls on there and this and that, and I'm listening to the game. I'm going, Moss is like going back in the day here to the University of Miami, getting thrown out of games and stuff, you know? And then I'm watching the sideline, Trey Roll hits RG3 for a personal foul out of bounds. I'm like, what's going on here, you know?
So
don't play those anymore.
The 30 for 30 series has that effect.
It
on
has
players,
that effect.
Especially when it's on Miami.
I guess so. But you're right. Those series of plays, you know, had a huge, huge impact on the game. Absolutely.
So I'm told, I believe we have Charlie back on the line. Is that correct, Greg? Okay, he's on with us. Now, Charlie, you see what happened? You were criticizing me about my microphone, and now your lousy phone can't even work. So, you know, this is what happens. It comes around and haunts you. So what do you have for us?
Hey, well, you got my point, right, about the defense. I just didn't get that. But, you know, the other thing is, too, is, like, you know, people are, you know, you were talking about Jerry Reese, and he did such a great job with Hankins, right? Well, I said, don't we have two defensive tackles on the line? You know, if we had kept Joseph and Hankins, wouldn't that have been a great run-stopping duo, which we haven't been able to do very much this whole year? I mean, you give them credit for one guy, and then we let another guy go. I mean, we would have had a great run-stopping two defensive tackles. And
Charlie, I'll let you continue here. I'll let you continue. But as Jeff was noting before you called in, I mean, the Giants have that track record of preparing for the next defensive tackle to come in case the salary cap doesn't allow to keep everybody. I mean, they did the same thing with Barry Cofield.
We have two tackles, though. We have two, not one. If we had one, I'd understand that.
Well, there is depth on the defensive line. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what you're alluding to. I mean, there are a number of options in terms of the defensive ends and defensive tackles that can be plugged in.
How have we done against the run this year, Lance?
It's been very up and down.
Yeah, well, it's because we don't have a guy like Joseph in there next to Mankin.
All right, well, what's your next point?
All right, that's one point. And my other point is, this is what Jeff, you were saying. If we don't get an offensive line that can run the ball, that can be maulers and really run the ball, you can't just rely on one guy, Odell Beckham, to be the savior of the offense. We got to be able to run the ball. Because you got to remember, and I just want to say one thing. I think you're revising history a little bit with Odell Beckham and his hamstring. If you remember back when he first twinged it a little bit, Coughlin was saying, why isn't he on the field? He was saying he should be on the field. They pushed him to go on the field. Then he really hurt it, and that's why he was out 5 or 6 games. And that's when Coughlin said, well, I don't want to talk about it anymore. But Coughlin was really upset that he wasn't out there. And if you go back and listen to the tapes, that's exactly what happened. He pushed him, and that's what happened.
The staff from the medical staff that were saying the doctors, and maybe a little bit of Odell. I don't think Odell is one of those guys that he doesn't want to get on the field. I mean, I can see that you can see the guy likes to play football. I can imagine
that back in the day
when they were saying, hey, I want to go play, and these guys were saying, hey, you know what? There's somewhere down the line they said, guys, let's just wait a little bit, okay, because we don't want to have you come out there and play 3 or 4 games and then get hurt again, you know. So.
Yeah,
but
no,
he's pretty exciting to watch.
After the fact, they did that. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Just go back and listen to Coughlin's conference call about it, and you'll see that he was upset that he wasn't on the field and they pushed him a little bit. The other thing is, Odell Beckham has hamstring problems. All he has to do is one hamstring problem, and he's out 5 or 6 games. So if we're just relying on him, like I said, to be the savior of this offense, we're going to be in deep trouble. Just like Jackie said, we've got to get an offensive line that can actually run the ball. And if we do that, then we have a balanced offense. And,
no question.
You know, we'll be great for next year.
I agree with you. I think that and I said it in the shows prior to this, is that, you know, the guys that are there have to play better. I'm not telling you something you don't know, the coaches don't know, the guys themselves don't know, that they have to play better in the run game, okay? And whether that's technically, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, I don't know, but they got to play better. They got those guys here. You got, you know, Pugh's not going anywhere, Beattie's not going anywhere, Richburg isn't going anywhere, okay? And then you start to look at, you know, what's going to happen with J.D. Walton, is Richburg, you know, but majority of those guys are there. I think the biggest question mark might be for at right guard for next year. You don't know what's going to happen there. But the nucleus of that offensive line is here, and they've got to play better. And maybe, you know, we can bring some other guys in here and draft another guy or whatever. But the bottom line, like I said, Charlie, is if you can get that run game going and get that offensive line to play better and have a more balanced attack, this type of offense predicates itself on the run first. Okay, then it'll set up all the big plays. It's kind of moving in reverse motion right now, like you said.
Yeah.
And that can't continue. And we all know that, because if you get in games and you're winning, you got to be able to run the football at least in the last 4 minutes of the game to get that victory.
All right, Charlie. Yeah. Thanks for the phone call.
I was going to say one thing. And Andre Williams, how good would he be if we could really run the ball?
No question. That's why they got him here. He's a big guy, you know. I mean, he's more importantly, look at what he's starting to do in the pass game. He's starting to catch the football, which excites me a little bit about going into next year.
All right, Charlie, appreciate
thanks, Charlie.
Your phone call.
Have a good
there
one, man.
Have been a few games where Andre Williams has really broken out as a result of the offensive line, and they got rolling.
And
so
that's
a positive sign that they could look to build upon.
There's no question. And you know, you say, why? You know, why in one game and why not the other? Well, you know, sometimes you're playing a 3-4 and sometimes you're playing a 4-3. I mean, it works different. Different things work at different teams, have different personnel. And, you know, you look at what the defense is doing against these the teams the last 3 weeks, they're not the greatest teams in the world, okay? Can't take anything away from them because they are getting the sacks and, they're ahead of what they were at this time last year. I think they had 34 total sacks last season.
Correct.
They're past that now, and they still have two games to go.
Yeah, 41 sacks now.
And I think that, you know, that's a positive. Check that one off the goals sheet on the board because that is a big one. That we got to get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, we could talk about both sides of the ball all day, but we all know that this team's got to get better. And going out this week talking about the Rams, who we don't know much about, but we know that they got a good defense. And we also know this, and maybe you don't know this, but I know this, and I know that Lance knows it because Lance is a stat guy, and he's really good at what he does. But the Rams have beaten Seattle. They've beaten Denver. Okay, and they've also have beaten San Francisco. Those are three pretty good football teams. So don't sit on St. Louis as being this really horrible team. And by the way, they have more wins than the Giants do. And it's a home game for the Rams. It's an away game for the Giants. So this is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a tough game. And I think from a matchup standpoint, you look at that defensive line and Robert Quinn, look out because he's good. And then you look at the Giants' offensive line. They've been pretty good at pass protection. Okay, then flip it over. The offensive line for the Saints, for the Rams are not that good, and the defensive line's been getting after it. So we're going to see a nice game plan for both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive lines, coming up in this Rams game, and it's going to be important. And really, when it looks to the Rams and the Giants, they both don't run the football very well. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a tough game.
Battle of the trenches. That's what it'll all be about. Yeah. You mentioned the defensive line, four former first-round picks on the defensive line for St. Louis. And they get a lot of pressure up the middle, and one name that Giants fans are familiar with is a guy that a lot of Giants fans were interested in perhaps the Giants taking in round one was Aaron Donald out of Pittsburgh, who has 8 sacks. He's second on the team. Him and Michael Brocker is really doing a nice job getting pressure up the gut, so that's really helping the defensive ends this season.
And, you know, he's a defensive tackle. So, I mean, it's they are getting some production there. And, so it should be a good game. I think that both teams are kind of searching for those go away wins at the end of the season here. I think certainly the Rams with their quarterback position, situation, what happened to them this year, was horrible. And they also, you know, they lose the Long kids. I think one of them's back, though.
Chris Long is fine. But Jake Long, you're talking about, left tackle. And they had to move Greg Robinson, their first-round pick, to left tackle after he started out at left guard. So it had been somewhat of a game of musical chairs for the offensive line. The most impressive stat for St. Louis, and it's all about their defense, they have not surrendered a touchdown, Jeff, in the last 3 games. I know they lost their last game, but it was a field goal battle between Arizona and St. Louis, so no touchdowns in the last 3.
Let me ask you a question. I was listening to the games. I was on the road this weekend, so thank God for one of these things, man. I'll tell you what, you got the NFL Network on here. It's just
technology.
Crazy. But I was watching the Red Zone on my phone, and they had shown a statistic, and I don't know if it came through. That, can you believe that the Kansas City Chiefs have not had a receiving touchdown by a receiver?
Correct.
Going into week 15?
It's crazy.
Come on. I mean, what that is, if you couldn't even try, I don't think, to do that.
The running backs and the tight ends, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you would have thought
Dwayne Bowe. Is that still held up?
I believe so. I don't remember them getting a receiving
Just think about that, folks.
When you
think about going in with 2-3 games left in the NFL season and you have not got a touchdown out of one of your receivers, that is kind of hard to do, in my opinion.
It is very difficult to do.
It's
amazing that at least one receiver has not chipped in. Let's see, I'm bringing up the Kansas City Chiefs stats. Kelce, Fasano have 9 touchdowns. Charles has 5. Nile Davis, the running back. Anthony Sherman, the running back. Joe McKnight, running back / wide receiver, but he's more of a running back.
Yeah.
No wide receivers have had scores.
That's amazing.
Season. Yeah.
That's insane to me. But you know what? Every year there's something that goes by like that. You're like, you scratch your head. Most of you scratch your head where there's hair on it, but I scratch my scalp, I guess, on my top of my head. But that's crazy. That's nuts.
See, you wanted the Giants to play the Chiefs this season so you could throw out that statistic.
The problem with that is that, you know what's going to happen there if the Chiefs did play the Giants? They're going to get like four that day, you know? It'd be like crazy. We would jinx them, but we would jinx our own team. So, the Rams game, when talk about this, Lance, it's going to be a tough game for the Giants this week. This defense that they have, and they're good, but what do the Giants have to do to win? They got to be able to run the football and protect. And you can do those two things. I think they got a good chance because this defense is starting to play well with Kennard and getting that. You got a lot of guys that are getting confidence going. You know, they've won two in a row. And so let's see what they can do up there in St. Louis, which, by the way, was one of my favorite places to kick because it had a roof. Or a roof.
The nice inside.
I don't know how you guys say it out here. I say roof. No, what did I say? It's got a nice roof.
A roof. Correct.
Yeah. A roof.
On the West Coast, you guys use the roof.
It's a roof.
Logo.
Roof.
And jargon type of pronunciation.
Roof.
We'll get to your phone calls in a second. I just wanted to throw out one other thing about St. Louis special teams. I think it'd be a huge storyline in this game, Jeff. You have Stedman Bailey and Tavon Austin, two dynamic return men for St. Louis. They each have a punt return for a score this season. And we saw in the Seattle game earlier this year where St. Louis caught Seattle off guard with a little fakery. So they are creative in terms of their special teams.
And Jim Fossil's son is, I think it's Mike. Is it Mike Fossil? I don't remember. He's the special teams coach.
John Fossil.
And pretty creative, and special teams a third of the game, but they have outstanding specialists too. Their kicker and their punter are really good, and their return game is even better. So when you look at it from a standpoint of matching up, the Giants special teams did well last weekend. Other than the they had a nice return on a kickoff by Preston Parker,
45 yards
that set up their a touchdown. That was on that drive. And what Steve did, pinning the opponent down there inside the 10-yard line, and so this will be a nice matchup for the Giants special teams to go up against this return outfit of the Rams, because we watch TV on Sundays, Lance and I, when the Giants are on the road, we're watching the Red Zone channel, and it seems to me that the Rams are there. There's something that comes on about special teams for the Rams almost every week. There's something going on.
And it was a huge storyline across the NFL this week. A lot of block punts, fakery, as well as block field goals.
Fakery.
So it'll
love
be interesting
fakery.
To see
love
what
fakery.
Yes.
Even though we never did fakery, any of the teams that I played for, I was always jealous that other teams did it. But the one that the Jacksonville Jaguars ran this weekend, deep in their own territory, I think they were on the 25-yard line. They did a shovel pass to the up back. Outstanding. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, what do you got to lose?
Absolutely.
For God's sakes,
point.
But the greatest thing about fake punts and fake field goals, it eliminates the rush. The other teams will never rush you again because they're so afraid of them. Because if you get a fake special teams play on you, it's like egg on your face. It's like you look so unprepared. And special teams coaches will not rush you if you have run fakes in the past. They're just going to say, we're just going to sit back and watch you punt or kick the field goal and we'll be done with it. We're not going to get beat on a stupid play like that. And, it is hard to defend a surprise onside kick. Those are probably the hardest thing to defend. But the fakes, you watch them on TV or on the film, you just got to prepare for them.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. So glad you could join us for Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. Let's check in with Eric in North Dakota. Eric, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance. Good morning, Jeff. How y'all doing?
Doing well,
good,
Eric.
Good, Derek.
What's on your mind?
Hey, I have a question. For next year's draft, what's the most key that we need to pick in the first round draft for the Giants? Do you think we'll be in a offense or defense?
Whew, good question. I think you gotta continue to build this offensive line. That's just me. But the Giants predominantly go by the best available player that's on the board. So you want to slot where the Giants are going to be, and then look at those. I don't know what number these guys are the Giants going to be picking up in the top 10, definitely.
Depending on how the standings play out.
So. You're going to get a top 10 pick, and where those guys slot down is kind of where you're going to go.
And I think also a lot of it, Eric, is based on free agency, remember. You know, the free agency activity happens before the draft. So, you know, you could look at the roster and you could say, well, this is a need right now. That could change depending on what the Giants do in terms of free agents that are out there.
And you look at what the Giants did in free agency offensive line-wise. They went out and got Jeff Schwartz, who only played one game for you this year. So he's going to be back. And that's kind of, you know, that's like another off-season acquisition. You're getting Jeff Schwartz coming in here. He only gave you one game and didn't even finish the game. So I think that, you know, that's you're right. It's a good point. I think you look at what they do in free agency first.
All right, Eric, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, what else you got?
We got to give Derek a chance to talk.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of fans here, Giants fans here in North Dakota, by the way.
Are you a North Dakota State fan? Because aren't they in the semifinals this weekend coming up?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Vikings fans, but right here we have a lot of Giants fans. You'll be surprised how many are they. There are a lot.
Well, Giants fans are spread out across the United States. They
even in North Dakota.
Absolutely. Well said.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You got
You're welcome. Have a good
Appreciate
one.
Appreciate you weighing in. Thanks so much. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. Let's check in with Mike. Mike, what's happening? No, Mike's not there. Okay, how about Jimmy in Toledo? Jimmy, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well, Jimmy. What's on your mind?
Pretty much looking ahead to next year. We have a ton of people coming off the books on the defensive side. I can't see us keeping both JPP and Antrell Roll. I think it's going to be one or the other. Out of those two, who do you think's more likely to re-sign?
That's a great question. I think long term, you would have to try to keep JPP first. You know, the guy.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's 25 years old yet. 26, maybe. I mean, that's a young guy now. And so it's just a matter of the Giants do have some cap space next year, and if you look defensively, what you're going to build your defense around, you know, most of the time you start with that defensive end. And I think they have one here that hopefully they can pay.
25 years old. He'll be 26 in January, by the way.
There you go. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I would love to have him back. But, I mean, at the same time, losing someone like Roll, I mean, the reason we got him was, I believe it was C.C. Brown, or as Giants fans like to call him, Can't Cover Brown. You know.
Well, Nat Burhey is another draft pick that they – Nat Burhey, they're pretty high on.
And
they,
Cooper Taylor will return from IR. Right. So there are some options at safety. So I think that the Giants will at least take that into consideration. In an ideal world, Jimmy, you'd like to keep both because they've been so integral to this franchise over the last few years. But once again, what do the Giants do in free agency? What does the salary cap allow? You know, those are the types of things that they're going to have to look at before they ultimately are able to lock up either one of them.
And also with Roll too, you know, he's getting up there in age, and you know, it's sometimes when you start to talk about, you know, how long you played in the league and, you know, how long you're going to continue to play. This is probably going to be his last contract, I would imagine. And maybe he just wants to stay with the team that he's been with for a while. So, but, you know, guys, it's all about this, as Johnny Manziel does. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not all about this. You know, it's all about your family and your kids are in school and stuff like that that go into free agency. Sometimes you take a little bit less for a little more job security.
Do you guys think that if Beeson wasn't willing to restructure, that the Giants would just cut ties with him?
Well, I think that they want John Beeson to come back, and I think that he's smart enough to know that if he tries to go somewhere else with his injury, he may not pass a physical somewhere else. And so, you know, that him, I don't know, what does he have one more year left on his –
Well, Beeson, I believe,
he just
signed
a
three-year
deal. So, you know, and – that's a good, great questions. I mean, I don't see why, if they want to restructure his deal, that he would not come back. I think he would.
All right. Well, hey, that's all I got for you guys. Jeff, you're one of the greats.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Fame before
I hope
too
so.
Long, hopefully.
That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Crossed.
It would. And you know what? If that happens, it would change the dynamics of this show big time.
Absolutely.
hey, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. The dynamics of this show. I don't even know if I want to go there.
Yeah.
We may need to make a bigger table here.
No. This table will be fine. You know me good enough that this table would be just perfect.
The table would be suitable. But who knows what else you'll recommend to
I would recommend that
here.
The Giants guy always has to be in front of me.
Okay. Well, I think we can keep
that
going. I don't think that's a big issue moving forward. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. Mike is on the line. Mike, what's happening?
Guys, I got to tell you, there's a bunch of things that kind of shook my head at over the past half hour. So we got Justin Pugh, William Beatty, and Weston Richburg. Colorado State, University of Connecticut, and Syracuse. Not Alabama, not LSU. Not a big school where they predominantly bring out these great offensive linemen. So I got a question where we're drafting these people from who are historically bad college football teams, Jeff. I'm sure as you know that.
But not all not all bad college football teams have all bad players. You know that.
No, I do know that, but they're going there for a reason is what I'm trying to get out there. But that's not my point. I got a couple things, guys, if you don't mind. Without Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, we're looking at a different game on Sunday. He's one of the only people I've ever seen with that kind of speed to catch down Roberts after Antoine Roll blunder.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive, especially after being hurt as he has been, you know.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, let's take it easy with JPP. Jeff, go back to the film and take a look at all the zone replays.
Don't get me started with that.
What he's doing mentally.
Yeah. Well,
but he has been good against the run overall this season. You have to give him that.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that's where they wanted him to improve his game, and he certainly did that. And at times he lacked the other stuff that we knew he could do. That would be the pass rush. But, you know, getting him to – and like I said, and see if you agree with me, he's still – I mean, even though he's been in the league as long as he has, he's still a young dude. You know, I mean, the guy can still – I think he's got a lot of games ahead of him and a lot of improvement to do. But I think certainly – you know, where else – if you can – you got to keep JPP here, at least try to. The problem you get into is the fact that these guys want – you know, there's no way in God's name is he getting money like number 99 down there in Houston. Okay, you got to look at the guy that Robert Quinn just signed a deal a couple years ago maybe. And so you're going to slot this guy around here. But the Giants, they historically will tell you what you're worth. If you like it, take it. If not, go out and get something else. They'll do it.
Jeff, do you really think he's going to do that, Jeff? He's going to demand big money himself, even though he shouldn't, but he will.
He will, absolutely, but he's going to be – I think he'll be surprised at what he's not going to get.
Well, look at all the people who leave, Jeff and Lance. Look at all the people who leave. What do they get, and what do they do? Really, absolutely nothing. O.C. Manure is a below-average pass rusher now.
Late in his career. Late in his career. Not young.
You know, they think that they're worth all this money, Jeff, and they really need to realize that, you know, hanging around this organization gives you so many opportunities, like you're doing right now. You're on a radio show.
There's
you're
not
no get
question.
That anywhere else.
There's no question. And you're 125% correct. You know what? I was a free agent about four, maybe five times in my career over the 22 years. And you know, I wanted – because of the punting position, we were always the lowest paid of everybody, but I will tell you that we got paid, okay? We made a lot of money. But there were times when I was like, you know what, why am I going to leave? I don't want to leave, you know, or I'm going to stay or whatever it is. But you got to make that decision, and there's all kinds of different variables that you have to weigh. And for a guy like JPP or any young guy for that matter, to stay with this organization and build your career here, when you retire, there's so many more things that you can do in this area. And being with a stapled organization like the New York Giants is incredible. You know, I'd give you a prime example is one in a guy that I love to death. And, you know, he was a teammate of mine. You look at Lawrence Tynes. I mean, look at what Lawrence went out and tried to get more money. He didn't get a free agent contract anywhere. He ended up signing a minimum deal with Kansas City, and he gets MRSA, and now he's out of the league. The Giants,
Tampa Bay.
And then, you know, the Giants had offered him a pretty good contract. And sometimes the grass is not always greener on the other side, as you had alluded to.
Yeah, no, I guess I have to agree. One more thing, if I may. There's been a couple of acquisitions I absolutely like. If you take a look at number 85, Daniel Fells, he's a great blocker. He's reliable. In the past game, he does not have a drop this season, as opposed to Larry Donnell's kind of have, you know, he's young, he has his fumbling problems and stuff and needs to work. And adding Fells there has been doing wonders, I think, for Larry Donnell as far as, you know, the veteran experience and everything else. But we really should have looked at Jeff Schwartz's injury problem before he even got here. Back in Carolina, he had a lot of foot injuries, I believe, hip injuries. And we gave him a $16 million deal for a guy who's played on four different teams out of Oregon.
You know what? I want to go back to, if you don't mind, go back to Donnell, okay? You know, watching that game on Sunday, it seemed to me that every time, not every time, but most of the time I saw a running play where it got stopped, I look around the pile, there's number 84. I think that, you know, because Fells, they kept Fells because of what you said. He's a veteran. They wanted him to teach Donnell a little bit. He's a better blocker. But Donnell has evolved into this really good pass catching tight end who needs to work on his fumbling skills. But I think more importantly, to get this run game going for next year, I think a key component to that is to improve the blocking from the tight end position, because they're not getting it done from the tight end. Fells is not in there as much as Donnell, and Donnell needs to get better at his blocking. What do you think?
No, I agree with you 100%. And a great example of that, it was a guy in your team, Shockey, was always a wonderful, wonderful run blocker. Jeremy did a great job of that, but I absolutely agree.
Yep.
All right, Mike, appreciate the phone
call.
Hey,
thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks so much for weighing in.
Take care.
The other thing about Daniel Fells, you know, that's a hungry player, Jeff. He was out of football last season.
Absolutely.
He was looking for an opportunity.
And he makes the best of his opportunities when he's in there. And like the caller said, he does block well. He's a good blocker. And the times that they go two tight ends, he does a better job than Donnell. And listen, we're not telling him anything he doesn't know. He needs to get better in that aspect.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Frank is in Tampa. Frank, what's happening?
What's up, Frank?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lance. How you doing?
Doing well, Frank. What's on your mind today?
Good. Oh, I got a few things. JPP looks like he's putting on a little bit of a tuck-like surge at the end of his season, like last year.
Yeah, like last year, certainly.
The problem is you only need one dope like Snyder or somebody, you know, to open up the vault. And if they do, though, take a look. I mean, forgetting just the pass rush, you know, the run defense, if we've got a 260-pound, you know, Moore whose head is on backwards and Kiwanuka is going to be out of the league, man, that's looking pretty lean at defensive end if he leaves. I mean, that's going to be a big problem. I don't know where on earth they're going to
Got Robert Ayers going to be coming back. Okay, so, you know, you're going to get a lot of production out of him, as you saw this year. But, Dan, you're right. I mean, you start going to look at the depth at where you're at. You know, Wynn has played pretty darn good, but, you know, he's played inside. So maybe he's not a big guy. They can, you know, so there isn't a lot of depth there. But I think the problem is you're going to run into is this: where is the salary cap going to be? You know, where do they want to spend all this money on one position on that defensive line? And the Giants are smart. They're going to know how to do it. They're going to know how to structure it. They're going to need more money to spend somewhere else. And that's what their prerogative, where they can do it. And it's just a matter of where. I mean, they're going to go get another linebacker somewhere. They're going to, if Rontrell Roll leaves, you know, Nat Burhe is going to probably move into the starting position. Maybe they get another safety. So there's a lot of stuff that has to be done in this offseason to justify giving JPP the money that he wants.
And Frank, before I let you continue, the other thing that I wanted to add, you know, you mentioned that JPP's having this tuck type of finish to the season. But, I mean, in fairness, when you look across the NFL and you look at some of the top defensive ends, sacks come in batches, regardless of how great of a player you are or whether or not you're a complimentary player. It's very difficult every game in a season to get a sack or two every game. So, you know, I mean, we see that with players. You have a streak of five or six games where, hey, you win your individual battles, things break right, and you get about six or seven during this three or four game surge, and that's what we're seeing out of JPP.
I also,
you know, Lance, that's a great point. You know, OC is a perfect example of that. He used to have one or two games where he got four, and then he'd have like two spread out the rest of the season, end up with 13. You know, but that's a very good point. But, you know, my main point, though, is the offensive line, and I'm beyond troubled. I mean, keep talking about having to do something. Once again, we talked last week about, you know, the talent evaluation. Here it is in a nutshell. I mean, how can you end up with what we have and watch a guy run for 1 yard on first down every single time when we have Walton, who was signed to be a capable center and a starting caliber center, Richburg, who's a second-round pick, who should be expected to start next year and be very, very good. Schwartz, he was your premium pickup in free agency. Beatty, you paid him like a top five or seven left tackle, and Pugh is a first-round pick. Then you got Jerry, who's another free agent pickup. What's wrong with this picture if with those potential quality players you can't run the ball for 1 yard? Who's evaluating these guys?
Well, sometimes, you know, you do your evaluations, you figure this is what we're going to pay the guys. I mean, you look at a guy like J.D. Walton, who had really not played the year before, and you bring him in here, and you draft Richburg because you really don't know how quickly he's going to get inserted into the lineup. I think ultimately they want him to play center. And then, you know, you just kind of run with those guys and see what you get. And sometimes it doesn't work out. I mean, you miss on some players.
But Jeff, these are, you know, these aren't, you know, hangers-on at the end of their career.
No, they're young guys. Yeah,
seventh-round picks. These are guys that should be in the absolute prime of their career. And we're looking at, how can you look at these guys on paper?
They got
to
play better.
Based on what was sold to us and say, we got serious problems next year on the offensive line. We should be saying, man, we can't wait to have these guys all back together.
I will tell you this, though, and correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I think they've done a nice job in the last couple, 2, 3, 4 weeks here protecting Eli. I mean, there's times when they, at the beginning of the season, you know, they've been real streaky. They got the running game going, but they can't protect the quarterback. Then they no running game, and now they're protecting the quarterback.
And the protection is fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
they got to be able to run the football.
We have to watch them run for 1.5 yards on first down.
And even last year, they couldn't run the football last year.
But it's inexcusable this past week. Fourth down, you go for it, and you got to have Beckham on some trick play around the end. I mean, kick the field goal then if that's what you've got. I mean, that's pathetic.
Well, you look at sometimes when you're down there in the red zone, you know, where you're expecting the team to pound the football a couple times, and they come out and throw the ball four in a row, and it just goes to show you that the physicality and basically the confidence and the mentality of it is that we're not going to be able to run it here. We're going to have to throw it.
Exactly.
All right, Frank.
Get the field goal, then, as far as I'm concerned. But
yeah,
then,
get the points,
know, on
right?
On top of that, you don't get a blocking tight end, you know, to go along with those five guys. But lastly, you know, on the post-game show, I heard him talking about, you know, Beckham and, you know, trying to account for, you know, how good he's been so fast. And they're saying about LSU and his system and Cam Cameron coaching, et cetera. Well, all I got one thing to say is, if that were the case, then what about the guy on the other side? I mean, if they ever decide to remake The Invisible Man, I know who I want, Reuben Randall.
All right, Frank, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing
Thanks,
in.
Guys.
Fans with their nicknames.
Remake The Invisible Man.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. One thing I wanted to add, speaking of Odell Beckham, and I don't know if a lot of people realize this, his teammate from LSU, Jarvis Landry, who was drafted by the Miami Dolphins, the two of them, I mean, they are lighting up this league this season.
Yeah.
That LSU draft class has done wonders. Let's not also forget the running back for the Cincinnati Bengals, too, who filled in for Giovanni Bernard. So
and then
all
you got,
around,
you know, you got, Jeremy I know Hill. He's, and then you got, I know he's not playing great, but at least he's, you know, he's playing. It was Mettenberger. I mean, that's that whole offensive, from the specialties position. So you got the quarterback, the running back, and the wide receivers from that LSU team. And yeah, there is a lot to say about systems that you come from and Les Miles up there and, you know, and Cam Cameron, those guys running the Southeast Conference. That is the breeding ground for the National Football League. And that's a good team up there.
Absolutely.
You know, that was a good team, and it shows you why. They had good players at quality positions, and they were getting it done.
Want to try to squeeze in one or two more calls before we wrap up the program. Drew's in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey,
Drew,
Lance.
You there? Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys, going, Lance, Jeff.
Doing well, Drew. How's everything with you? What you got?
Pretty good, man. Real quick, man, I just want to give a shout-out to my brother who's up in the hospital. We don't know what's wrong with him. He's pretty much been in a coma for 2 weeks. So.
Well, sorry to hear that, Drew. We wish him the best.
Thing to you, baby brother. But at any rate, man, getting back on to this, man, I totally agree with Frank on the offensive line, man. And, you know, you can see that we have I tell you right now, when you look at the parts of this offensive the game that the Giants are trying to put together with Beckham and, Cruz, you know, next year, man, this offensive line can be extremely dangerous. And we get Eli back into, you know, the Eli of old and get him some protection. We are going to have one heck of an offense. You know, I could see that now. But, you know, again, going, you know, talking about, you know, what we're going to do in the offseason, we have holes all over the place, as have been mentioned many times. But I got to believe, man, you got to put this offense together first.
Well, the first thing in offensively
we got,
you
we
do
got defensive problem. I'm sorry, Joe. Let me just say this real quick. I want you to finish your point, sir. Let me just say this real quick. We got, you know, as offensive woes, we also have defensive woes. So it's kind of hard to decide on where we want to go. But to me, I'm of the mindset that if you fix the offense first, at least you have enough to get your defense, you know, a rest to get something done. Not that we don't need defensive help, too. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say offensively, I think going into the offseason next year, you evaluate the talent that's there, you know, on your roster. And then I think more importantly, you say, you know, where is it that we have to get better? And certainly right away, the biggest thing, we have to be able to improve our run game. And right. What is that going to take? Is it going to take another player? Is it going to take these guys getting better? And then you look defensively. Remember, I know that these aren't all quality players as far as starters and this and that. 21 guys on injured reserve. You got a lot of guys coming back next year. So, you know, with a healthy team, both offensively and defensively, you know, you think that this team could play better and in the division get better and try to go out defensively. You know, you got guys like Prince coming back next year. You're going to have guys like Walter Thurman, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Right, right, yeah, and I got that, man. But you know, the other thing, man, is you know, for me, well, my big criticism of Reese comes in is you know, I know everybody talks about evaluation, and that's obviously a huge part of it. And you know, yeah, you can't predict injuries and everything, but to me, man, I think we got to do a better job of finding players that can step in due to injuries. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, we got players, but I don't think we have the caliber of players that can step in for you know, I'm obviously we've seen for Walter Thurman or Prince or something like that. You know, that's what I'm looking at, and I think that's where, you know, to me, the Giants is really, really lacking. Then my other point, man, is with Beeson, you know, again, like I said before, I was one who wanted us to get Beeson, but, you know, based on Beeson's injury history and once again has come forth this year, I think we might have to relook that part right there. And let me make one last point, Matt. Just a couple observations, guys, and I'm on the go. You know, Pugh had a holding penalty last week, you know.
Beckham touchdown, yeah.
Right, on the Beckham touchdown. But to me, and I just want to make this point, to me, I will tell you right now, that was a good holding penalty because, really, check it out. If you go back and you look at that play again, Eli does not get that ball off if Pugh wasn't holding. In fact, Eli gets crushed. You go back and you look at that game, too. So, to me, that was one of those no harm, no foul. Because, yeah, Eli's not getting that ball off if Pugh wasn't holding.
Well, and Odell Beckham had a really good route on that, too. And I appreciate the phone call, Drew. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thanks, Drew.
There were a number of penalties later in the game that Tom Coughlin did address at his conference call. And I don't know if there's ever such a good thing as a good penalty when it comes to Tom Coughlin, Jeff.
But, you're looking at that game last week against the Redskins. The offensive line had some crazy penalties. I mean, the one we're just talking about, we had a penalty down in the red zone, okay, which you're on first down. You get a penalty, and it backs you up now. You got to be smarter. I mean, not only do they have to play better, they got to play smarter and not get penalties in these situations that put you, especially on first down. A penalty on first down is so bad. First and 15, not much you can do on first and 15. There really isn't.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
Yourself in the foot. Exactly.
Yep. All right, let's try to squeeze in one more phone call here before we wrap things up. Ernest is in Connecticut. Ernest, what's happening?
Hi, Ernest.
What's up, Ernest?
You know, I'm kind of upset again. I know I brought up this issue last week, but I would like you to touch on it again. The thing that I'm thinking about is we're talking about next year, and which is a good thing because we have something to look forward to. But don't you, when you watch the game Sunday and you have Odell Beckham Jr. coming out of the backfield on a fourth down, trying to run like a running back. And I'll say it again, if they keep using, and then they had him again with like 5 or 10 seconds left at the end of the game, receiving punts, one freak accident, and the man could be out for the year. I mean, football is like that. I mean, one freak accident, anybody can get injured on any given day. I understand that. But if you can not put the percentage against you, why do it? He had no business in that game. And this is what I'm talking about with Tom Coughlin. You have other rookies on that team that needs to get reps also. You can't, every single thing you're doing is to Beckham. I hope he does not get injured before the season's over with. I really don't. Because they're just huge. I mean, he had no business being like a running back. I mean, he was crushed. That guy put on him, he just buckled. What are they doing? What is he? This is what gets me with
trying to make a play, trying to make a first down because they can't run it up in there. They got to try to make a play. I tell you what, if he scored a touchdown, we wouldn't be saying much about it. But in my opinion, I see what you're saying. I don't agree with it because I just think that, the guys, you play your best players to win the game. And you make up game plans and you put these things in there. It's always hindsight if we can say, yeah, he got hurt on that play. But you know what? We could also talk about, he scored 3 touchdowns on that same play the whole season. It's just the way football works. It's the way they make a game plan. It's the way they like to use them. I will agree with you at the end of the game with the punt return. Just put Randall back there. That's what he's back there for, is to catch the ball. He's never back there to make a return. Maybe that point. But I don't agree with you. I think that Odell Beckham should be in the game when you got to make plays, especially when you're trying to make first downs when you can't run it up the middle.
And Ernest, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Ernest.
Plus, he missed 4 games already, Jeff. So, you want him to get some additional reps here even late in the season, even if there's no playoff implications on the line. He also needs to get in different situations.
Get a rep. Get in. We're going to put that in the game plan. We're going to put that on film so the guys have to game plan for
that.
Yeah.
And you learn from those experiences. Plus, there's a lot of players in the NFL who do a little bit of everything. Dez Bryant earlier in his career, he returned punts. He wasn't just a wide receiver. DeSean Jackson.
Absolutely.
It's nothing unique how the Giants are utilizing Odell Beckham. If you have the talent, why not try to use him in different positions?
You also say, we're trying to win a football game, and right now, who's our best player to put out there, punt returner? Odell Beckham is your best punt returner and your biggest playmaker, okay? Reuben Randle is put on the field to fair catch and handle the football. Again, who else you got to return out there? That's it. Preston Parker, we saw what he does. He fumbled. You're not putting the ball in his hand.
These are the guys that you're looking to have in those roles in the future.
Absolutely.
Why not utilize them now? Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. For Jeff Feagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Appreciate all the phone calls and the tweets throughout the program. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday here at noon Eastern. Giants and the Rams this weekend will continue to get you set. Stay locked to the team website for all the latest news. For Jeff Feagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Have a good one.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through 35-30.